This is Summer Grandstand on ABC Sport.
Backhand return from Keys. Right to the baseline, picked up by the forehand of Sabalenka. Keys drives the forehand. Sabalenka with the backhand. Keys with
winner.
The forehand winner. It's Maddie's time in Melbourne. She's a major champion. Finally.
Getting it back on the backhand. Now a forehand again from Zverev. Drop shot, Sinner. Zverev pushes it back. Backhand, Sinner. He's got it. Jannik Sinner is once again the Australian Open champion.
Oh, beautifully called there by Quentin Hull and Corbin Middlemass. But to help build the excitement in the lead up to the tournament, we are very pleased to have on the CEO of Tennis Australia, Craig Tiley. Welcome to Summer Grandstand.
Hi, Nemo. Hi, Sam. Hope you're both well. And good to be chatting to you when it's not as hot outside and we're getting ready for what's going to be a big 3 weeks.
It is going to be massive. What are you most excited about over the next 3 weeks?
Well, in the last 24 hours, I've tasted a Shake Shack burger. That was pretty impressive.
Yes.
I've had a Peach Melbourne, which probably shouldn't have, but it was really good and tasty, and everyone's going to love that.
Right.
I'm pretty excited. Every single player that's so far shown up, they've just been blown away by all the changes and, what we're going to gain, deliver for the players and for the fans. And you know, we're excited about the number of fans that have bought tickets, much more than we've ever experienced, and the amount of people from around the world that have got this great interest in what's going to happen over the next 3 weeks. And I've always said that we really launched the sports and entertainment year, time for the year, when we're here in January. The Super Bowl's in February, and it's going to be, this year even bigger. So, I think it's going to be, for example, this week we got the $1 million slam. $1 million to win that 1 point, and that's actually going to turn out to be the richest event in the history of sport, because really for 5 points you could win $1 million.
Just very quickly, Craig, for people who aren't across that, can you just give us the headline summary of how that the 1 point challenge works?
So on Wednesday night will be the finals in Rod Laver Arena. We have a packed full Rod Laver Arena, but the last 2 months, people interested in tennis or that play tennis across the country have been competing, and all you do is you play against someone in a draw in a mini little tournament setup, and you have to win 1 point, and if you win 1 point, you advance and your opponent goes home, and we've played thousands of points across the country to where we have the 8 top amateurs from us coming through from Australia. And they'll play against, there'll be another 8 qualifiers, and then the next 30 players will be made up of the top players in the world. Nick Kyrgios is going to be playing it. We've got Jannik Sinner, Carlos Alcaraz, the top two. We've got Iga Swiatek and Coco Gauff, the top two women. So the pros are going to come and play. So it's going to be for about 2 hours on Wednesday night on Rod Laver Arena from 7 o'clock. It'll be broadcast by Channel 9. And basically, a player plays a point, and you do rock, paper, scissors to decide who serves or who receives. And then they play a point. If they win, they stay on the court. If they lose, they go off until you get the last two players. Everyone gets eliminated up until the last two. And then the player that wins that 1 point against the last two wins $1 million.
Wow. Craig, before we get to the tennis itself and the big names, people that won't be there as well, I'm keen to just probe a little further on this. You've been tournament director of this great Grand Slam since 2006, and it really just seems to keep landing stuff that makes people come and have a great time. And, it's genius that people pay to actually sit and not go to the tennis and just watch it on the telly, but they pay to just be there and enjoy the atmosphere. Like, whose brainchilds are these? Do you have like some massive innovations team, or do you just have some sort of secret weapon person that comes up with these great innovations that seem always like really spot on?
No, Sam, I appreciate the compliment. We've got a few people in the organization that have got great capacity and creativity. We're a very curious leadership team, and we like to learn from others and take it to another level. We're a leadership team that takes risks. We're quite willing to try something. We're not too sure if it's going to work. And if it does work, great. If it doesn't, we'll quickly make some changes and give it a go. And we listen to what people tell us. So I think I'm very fortunate. I've got a great leadership team. We also, no one has a license on an idea. Any idea is a good idea. We put forward ideas in the organization. In fact, when we stop the event in March, we all get together and we do a brainstorming session. Is how are we going to surprise and delight the fans for next year? I put a challenge on the team that at least 50% of the experience for the fans have to be different year on year. And that sometimes becomes challenging to be creative around that, but at least that's our target. So this year is going to be this year I think is going to be no question our most creative yet.
It looks incredible, just what we're seeing so far. And the music offering alone is amazing this year, with different artists performing each day.
Yes, we have, I think, 80-plus music sets, 21 days of straight music. We have a live stage. And then, of course, at the end of the final week, the last 5 days, we have it in a stadium in John Cain Arena. And some of the acts we've got around the world with our promoter partners is magnificent. And quite a few of them are sold out. So we know there's interest. And, you know, the goal is to ultimately, can we become, we're not far off becoming Australia's largest music festival.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. Actually, onto the tennis, with all due respect to Alcaraz, Sinner, Keys and Sabalenka, the biggest draw card might be Venus Williams at this Australian Open.
Yeah, well, it's great to have her back. She's got a great story. At the age that she has to still be competing at the level that she has, she actually just got married. She sent me some pics from her wedding, and which was recent, and she'll be here with her new husband and her team. And we were happy to give her a wild card. She's a great champion. We feel like she deserved it. And, you know, she's going to be a great name in the draw. And you know, there's so many players coming in that are playing some great tennis. There's going to be so many stories from day one. Qualifying starts on Monday. And next week, the opening week, where we've got bands every day, we've got the entire sites open. People can get food wherever they want. Fans can get it. So coming out for $20. For $20, you get entertainment for the entire day.
It is. Speaking of things getting bigger, it's the largest ever squad of ball kids as well. Yes. And the largest ever prize pool, up over $110 million the players are competing for.
It's a lot, Lima. So I say, pick up a racket. You've got to win 7 matches and you can make $4 million.
Not bad.
sounds pretty good. Hey,
sounds easy.
Craig, on that record prize pool, like, how does it grow? Is that purely through sponsorship? Who determines what it is?
Yeah, so we make the decision. Our strategy is every year when we do our budget, the priority is that we pay the players first. And we always give the players a large percentage of our revenue as part of prize money and compensation. So if we know we've had a good year, we can give them more. And this year was a good year. So, you know, $111 million. And actually, if you include our summer of tennis, because we're also playing right now the United Cup in Sydney, it's been in Perth, and we've got an event in Adelaide, just had one in Brisbane, or having one in Brisbane and in Canberra and in Hobart, is we pay out $136 million in prize money over the course of the summer. So it's a really big number, and it's a huge opportunity, for players. We want players to make a good living playing the game and get a good start to the year here in Australia.
We are talking to CEO of Tennis Australia, Craig Tiley. And Novak Djokovic, earlier in the week, pulled out of the tournament in Adelaide. Did you ring him immediately and say, are you okay and will you definitely be playing?
Well, he's won the event 10 times, but it was the other way around. He rang me to tell me he was pulling out of Adelaide, but don't worry, he will be 100% ready, and he arrives on Monday, but he'll be 100% ready to play the Australian Open.
How did you feel when you saw his name flash up? I mean, I would be quite excited, quite frankly, but did you sort of see it and think, oh, gosh, are we lost him?
No, I think when you have a long history with someone, it's just like another call, I guess. I always get nervous that time of the year when a player makes a phone call and you think they're going to tell you something about not being able to play. So we have had those calls from Rafa Nadal and Roger Federer and Serena Williams in the past. But,
do you save them like on a one name basis? Like it's just Novak is calling, Serena is on the phone. Here's Beyonce.
I don't go as far as Beyonce. But okay. Tennis people, yes.
All right. And now we've got Alcaraz. You mentioned Nadal and Federer there. The more I look at Alcaraz and Sinner, they are, to me, such a mirror image of Nadal and Federer. Firstly, the champions of the game. They are absolute box office, but also their personal relationship between the two of them, because we know how close Nadal and Federer were. And it looks to me like Alcaraz and Sinner have a similar sort of friendship, Craig.
They do. They're good friends. And wow, the matches they've played against each other last year, Grand Slam finals, have been absolutely phenomenal. Some of the best sporting moments you would see in some of those matches that they've played. And they've never played against each other here in the final of the Australian Open, so this could be the first year it happens. And I think it's gonna be fascinating to see if it does happen. But they are the two best players coming on the men's side. But you know, we always have a soft spot for hoping that one of our Australians gets the finals.
And in saying that, and I agree with you, Limo, like the Alcaraz Sinner, I mean, it's mouthwatering and the potential that they will play in a final here in the next couple of weeks, Craig. But it's a building rivalry. You know, the Nadal, the Federer, and throw in Djokovic as well. Like that big three was just like, it was permanently compelling. Craig, has tennis in terms of attendance, viewership, has it dropped off in any way internationally since Federer and Nadal's retirements?
Sam, it's a good question. You know, every year you expect that when Sampras and Agassi retired and then when Martina and Chris Evert retired, we always thought that would happen when Serena stopped playing. But there has not, in fact, year on year post-COVID, tennis has increased in participation across the world globally in some double-digit percentages. We're seeing it significant here in Australia. We continue to get more people playing the game, more people registering to play the game. And I think that rivalry is just, there's been no loss. It's actually just picked up and continued on, and we've continued to see some great growth. So, if you look at it, the Australian federal government puts out a survey a couple times a year, or four times a year, on how sports are progressing in their participation, and we continue to have the highest increase in participation each quarter, from quarter to quarter, and there's just more people that like to play the game, and that is happening around the world. And I think there's a lot to do with the Sinner-Alcaraz rivalry on the women's side, some things that are happening there. And And also, there's a lot of research that says now the healthiest sport to play globally is tennis, so that helps as well.
And speaking of box office, there's no bigger box office item than Nick Kyrgios. He has said he won't play except a wild card into the singles. Is there still a tiny chance, Craig, that he might? He's playing the Kyrgios Classic this week.
I think that... what is he playing?
He's playing in the Kyrgios Classic this week.
Oh, okay, yeah. Nick has made a decision not to play the Australian Open. It's 3 out of 5 sets potentially, and I don't think he's said to me he doesn't feel ready for that. So he's actually not going to play the singles. He will play the doubles. He'll play with Tanasi. So there'll be box office watching, I'm sure, when they take the court at some point in the middle of the first week. And he won't, he's not going to play. It's pretty taxing to be, when you get yourself onto the court and you're going to be ready to play 3 out of 5 sets, you're going to be ready to be on the court for 4 or 5 hours. And he just felt he wasn't ready to do that. I think he made the right decision, because if you're not ready to win a match, you probably shouldn't be going to get out there.
Well, we are very, very excited about the next 3 weeks. We can't wait for the qualifying to kick off on Monday, and then everything kicking off in big style 1 week later. Craig Tiley, congratulations on what is going to be another amazing Australian Open, and thanks for your time on Summer Grandstand.
Anytime, Nima. Thank you, Sam. Enjoy the rest of the afternoon, and we're looking forward to a good 3 weeks.
This is Summer Grandstand on ABC Sports.